Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It is the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. Today's point, would you believe it? There isn't one. So, spring break has concluded. I have had a rotten week and a half, unrelated to spring break, I promise you. And so my typical news consumption habits for the week, you know, you would think lots of big of announcements, lots of, I assume, layoffs, lots of stuff going on. I have seen none of it. I have almost exclusively listened to Iron Maiden this week. I don't remember the last time I listened to a podcast, which is unique for my current situation. So I don't have like a ton of gaming reactions or thoughts, but something that's been on my mind for a little bit, which I guess we could consider a point. I want to return to the idea of like public domain usage as a jumping off point for games and or other media, on this happy May the 4th for you. Let's not talk about Star Wars. Like I said, I've been listening to a lot of Iron Maiden lately, and if something that you may not know as a person who doesn't listen to Iron Maiden is that I haven't run the numbers on this one, but as far as I know, they are the most well-read in terms of the classics as it comes to metal bands. I don't know if I would stand behind that statement, but based on their musical output and the titles and themes of the songs that they make, I think it's worth saying that at least the people writing songs for Iron Maiden, they do know their classics. At moments before turning this podcast on, I was listening to The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, which is an Iron Maiden song based on the Thomas Coleridge poem, I guess, about an old haggardy guy who shows up to a wedding and says, "Let me tell you, sonnies, a little story about this time I was adrift at sea and murdered an albatross, and then also death was there and my crew died and it was bad for everyone. Don't be like me," he says to the young groom. And it's kind of got my brain a-thinking, because I have a couple of games wishlisted on the Xbox still, from when I was using it, and I will continue to get emails for it. And would you be surprised to learn that there's kind of a pretty active development scene around making Tintin games, making Agatha Christie mystery games, and, you know, obviously the Frogwares Sherlock games I've talked about before. And I find that interesting, that, like, there are these, like, 40s plus, I guess maybe Agatha Christie is a little bit earlier than that, I don't actually know. But there is, like, this idea of, like, 20th century, like, early 20th century novel writing being jumping off points for games. Tintin's a comic, but you catch the drift. But as we kind of have seen with adaptations and stuff in film, you know, there is that more recent adaptation, I guess, remix, I don't know what you would call it, of Wuthering Heights, which I think is kind of like what, when I talk about using public domain as a jumping off point, is kind of where my head is at. Like, that is a weird version of Wuthering Heights. It is not the book, which I think is kind of the fun, weird, interesting part of it. And I think that seeing that in games, like, going forward would be kind of nice. Like, to be able to use these, you know, these legacy IPs, if you would like to refer to Shakespeare as an IP holder, is, like, I think something that is generally pretty untapped. Like, I think everyone saw EA's Dante's Inferno and said, no thank you, please. But, like, you look at this, like, resurgence, giant surge of incredibly unique, super cool indie games, and, like, why isn't there a, like, indie game that is just Rime of the Ancient Mariner, like, in the Lucas Pope, Obra Dinn styling, and it's like a visual novel, or even like a light puzzle game or a sailing game or something, you know? Like, sure, there's not a ton of meat there for gameplay mechanics, but, like, what does a Great Gatsby game look like? Like, is there a Yes, Your Grace style management game, but it's King Lear? I feel like there is. And I don't know how much of this is just, you know, if you're gonna make a game, go through all that effort, like, make it your own thing. I also don't know how many boys to the yard Shakespeare brings these days. Maybe good old Billy Shakes isn't bringing all the people to check out this cool Tempest game, but I'm kind of surprised that there's not an Iliad or an Odyssey game. You know, like, if it's good enough for Interstellar Guy, wow, Interstellar Guy. The only name that's coming to mind is Michael Crichton, which is not true. It's the guy. He's the guy who likes to watch movies on airplanes. Thinks that that's the premier way to watch film. Wow, Inception Man. Why So Serious, dude? Nolan, Christopher Nolan. Whew, we got there. Happy Monday, folks. I just think that if Christopher Nolan can make an Odyssey game or an Odyssey movie, then there's gotta be something to that. Like, Ubisoft already has 90% of the mechanics for that, and also the character models at this point, based on what they did in Odyssey. But it just seems kind of strange that there aren't more games like that coming out these days. Like, especially as we look at where Electronic Arts is, or Ubisoft, or all of these other studios that are, like, basically giving away a large percentage of the profits from their games to large IP holders. You know, I guess looking at you, Star Wars specifically, because that's what I'm thinking of today. It's kind of fascinating that there's not, like, hey, how much do you think we can get for the Jane Austen license? Like, give me a social dating sim that is just Pride and Prejudice. That sounds pretty cool. Like, do you remember, going a little bit far afield here, but do you remember in, like, the mid 2010s probably, there was this, like, weird, I don't even know what I would call it, like, movement scene, probably middle level publisher, that was putting out Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Do you remember that? I think one of them, like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer or something, like, became a movie. Like, there was a time when we were doing weird remix things to the classics. So it wouldn't even have to be, it wouldn't even have, like, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, like, I mean, you could do that today. You could do that today. That's like a class, that's a Moonlighters right there. You have your social deduction and, like, social hierarchy game where you're, like, doing, you know, you're out getting stuff at night, fighting zombies to gift to people during the day to increase their hearts so that you could be, you know, a well-adjusted man who's always in want of a wife. Like, you could do that. You could be Lizzie and you could go out there and kind of, actually, I think that's the angle. You go out and be badass Lizzie slicing up zombies in the night, but like you got to get all the things and supplies that you can to keep your house from falling into disrepair and ill repute. And then also you got to make enough money to get the good dresses to go to the balls to then like woo away some rich man, because that's how it goes. But you're always quick-witted, Lizzie, so it always works out. I think you could do that. Like, that seems like a public domain game that could be made with just like a couple of twists. And like, I know that we live in interesting times, but like, why isn't there, like, there's BioShock, right? But like, why isn't there a 1984 game? Like, where is the like double A or like established indie studio making the Fahrenheit 451 game? Like, imagine that. Like, they made that, who was in that show? They made a show. I don't know if it was any good. But like, they made that show. Like, Bradbury is out here. The Bradbury estate is out here getting money for that stuff. Like, why aren't we doing that with games? Like, why isn't there this healthy, thriving part of video games that is just the part of games that is making interesting adaptations of literature? Because I feel like there are plenty of ways that you can be inspired by that, but it is interesting that, like, again, like Fahrenheit 451 kind of writes itself, right? Like, you play as a guy. He is a firefighter, which means when he finds out that there's books, he goes and takes his fire hose and starts them on fire. Like, you have your forbidden pickups that gain you additional knowledge by, like, hidden books that you find. Like, Guy, his name is Guy, like, falls in love with reading and at some point has, like, a mental breakdown and reads poetry to a bunch of people, the biggest social faux pas, and then he gets kicked out of the town and it gets nuked. Like, there is a A to B to C of this story that I think would fit really well in video games. And it just is kind of surprising to me that it hasn't. And like, maybe these texts are more protected. Maybe you're not going to get a lot of, like, you're better off getting the Mass Effect, like, former Mass Effect devs from BioWare coming together and saying, hey, we're making our own thing starring Matthew McConaughey. And like, that's what we're doing. Like, we're just going to do that. And instead of doing the Foundation series, like, instead of having like this time jumping Foundation series that is about, you know, Asimov's Foundation. And I guess there's a little bit of this, but it is only attached to The Expanse, is kind of where I've now realized this has gone. It is just The Expanse. Like, The Expanse is the only one that I can think of that became a book series, then became a film and TV adaptation, and then from there became the thing that we go to. To the point where I don't know, like, the Telltale game, as far as I know, isn't adapted off of the TV series. It is adapted off of the books, but using the visual stylings of the TV series. So it's like a beautiful mishmash, which kind of separates it from something like Battlestar Galactica Deadlock, or I think Battle Command is the new one that's coming out pretty soon. But like, I think that those are prime examples of what you could do if you just went back 150 years earlier than that. Like, there are so many Silver Age and Golden Age sci-fi novels. Like, The Invincible, another great example of this. Like, that is taking Stanislaw Lem's The Invincible. They completely adapted it in, like fully changed it. The story, the broad story strokes and, like, the setup of that world is the same, but, like, who you play as is a character. Your entire team does not exist in The Invincible. There is an entire Cold War-esque concept in the video game that doesn't exist in the novel at all. Like, I think that is another perfect example of, here is a space exploration game, like a walking sim with, like, light puzzle-solving mechanics and a mystery to unravel as you go. Like, genius. Like, that is the stuff that I think about and look at, you know, these larger teams and especially on May the 4th, like as we continue to watch Star Wars games drop like flies, like you can have Star Wars. It just won't say Star Wars. You know, like Dune has knives and cool vibrating shields. Like our boy Denny already made a really good one of those, two of those. We'll see, perhaps three of those. And it's kind of surprising to me the best we got out of that was a survival game that doesn't seem to be doing very good. Like, when I think about Dune, I'm not thinking of, like, massive multiplayer survival game. I'm thinking of The Long Dark. Like, imagine a Dune game that is set after the killing of the Atreides, and you are wandering in the desert, and then you have to become Muad'Dib. Like, do that, but Long Dark sounds pretty cool. And then the entire second book, or I guess maybe the third one, you are in the main city on Arrakis. Like, hey, it's the Long Dark, but now it's like a sneaky game where you have to like steal and pilfer your way and like work your way up through the classes and like become the prophet Muad'Dib. Like it kind of seems like these games could be interesting or slightly different if the IP was less strict, I guess, or if it was more novel. Like, I don't think anyone is going to sit down and say, like, okay, it looks like trend lines are going up on extraction shooter. They're kind of going down on MOBA. We don't really like fighting games because that's for a special kind of weirdo. So, you know, we're happy to give you the Tempest license. Or we're happy to give you the Christmas Carol license. But it does have to be an extraction shooter. Like, I just don't think those conversations are happening. Like, I don't think the Dickens estate, like, truly gives a shit about what kind of game their thing needs to be. If anything, they'd probably say, hey, like, maybe no guns in this one. Maybe give it to someone who can make a good narrative-style game that has a cool thematic core to it. Like, I don't know if the Lem estate was like, hey, actually, no ray guns in this one. Can you just, like, kind of chill on that? But, yeah, I think that there's a lot of stuff to do in this space. And, like, maybe, like I said, it comes right down to if you're going to go through all the effort to make a video game, you want it to be your IP, and you want it to kind of just be your own world and your own space, and, you know, how much the world informs the way you play the game is something that we can't really discount. But it almost feels like the debut game, or the like follow-up game, or the support studio game being a public domain property that is something that you don't expect seems like it could really pop off in an interesting way, and in like a sustainable way, not in a, you know, Marathon needs to sell 10 million copies to be solvent kind of way. I don't know. I guess, like, what are your things that you would like to see? Like, is there a cool survival horror Telltale Heart game? Like, is there a Batman Arkham style Jekyll and Hyde game? Like, yes, right? Like, that should exist. Like, that is a thing that you put those words together. You're like, yeah, I can kind of see how that could be a game. Like, you go around, you solve some mysteries, and at nighttime you turn into a cool Dr. Hyde. Like, that's a thing. And then it's all about, like, morality play. Like, sometimes you have to, like, Paragon Renegade system, and, like, you don't want to go too Hyde or go too Jekyll because then you lose the power. Like, you can see it. Like, I think it can kind of all come together. What are your public domain-ish properties that you think should be ported over to video games? Pitch me on your game. I don't have any money. I can't make it happen. But, you know, maybe if you wish it into the world, it'll happen. But that's going to do it. You probably heard the train a couple minutes ago. I got to go hop on the train. I have to go play an unreleased video game. I'll catch you later. Have a good Monday. Since we've talked so little about it, may the 4th be with you. I, too, like to participate in branded holidays. And we'll catch you tomorrow. See ya.